Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it. The IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not.
As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
Today we have our guest. Our guest today is Rodney Allgood. He is a motivational speaker, poet, performer, consultant, an entrepreneur and mentor. And he is a man who lives with a passion for adding values to others. Watching what Rodney's Allgood's work is very inspiring, I must say. And it is an honor to have him with us today. Rodney often hosts Mindshift seminars and meeting groups in effort to help others who need some inspiration to move forward from their traumas being Jehovah's Witnesses. His Facebook group is Empowered Ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, Empowered Mind, which I will put the link in the description below. The group encourages members to thrive and not simply to survive. If you are an Ex-Jehovah's Witness or anyone from a high control group, I encourage you to visit that group and also visit Rodney and be part of the community. Though the group is for Ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, I think anyone can have benefit from listening to Rodney, because listening to him is very empowering and you can move forward with your life in a fulfilled way and happy and have an empowered life. So if you want to have Rodney's expertise, you can visit him at rodneyallgood.org or rodneyallgood.com or empoweredxjws.com, and I'll put all the links in the descriptions below so you can have all of them. So welcome to the show, Rodney. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
Who am I? Well, I figured out my purpose in life is to be someone that helps other people turn the light on for themselves so they can live in their fullness. That's what brings me joy. What brings me joy is watching people go from being a cocoon to a butterfly and to live in their fullness and to get their life in alignment so they can deliver their gift to the world.
Nice. Awesome. So tell us about your career ventures.
Well, I had a dramatic shift about, I guess I've been a speaker for about 7 or 8 years, but before that, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 22 years old. I used to be in the sewage pumping business and the AC duct cleaning business and different things. I've always been an entrepreneur since I haven't had a real job since I was 22. But, I felt a calling as I got older to, I felt a calling. There was something in me that wanted to help others. And I feel very aligned today as a speaker, as a coach, as someone that I speak at corporations, I speak at universities and high schools, all different kinds of things. But it's my greatest joy today to help others find their way. I think you hit a spot in life where you want to give back, and that's kind of where I'm at today.
So you believe in callings and fate and purpose then. So you were born to be what you to be who you are now and what you do now.
Yeah, I think everyone has specific gifts and talents, things that come natural to them, right? There's lots of different lanes you could go with that, but everyone has things that come natural to them. And I think one of the goals in life is to be able to live a life where you're using your given gifts and talents. For me, it's the gift of words and speech and the gift of I'm able to make things that seem complicated simple for people. Put the cookies on the lower shelf. So those are gifts of mine, right? So I live a life where I can use those. There's different ways I could use that same gift, right? So people might be a football or a basketball coach or a soccer coach, and it's the same gift that you're using. Someone might be gifted at mathematics and become an architect, or might be an accountant. So there's different ways to use your gifts, but I think it's important to incorporate them somewhere in your life because that is what you're given to share with the world. It's almost selfish to live a life here and not really use what you're given in some capacity. So when people are able to get into the right lane, they feel this real fulfilled feeling within them because their life feels like it's in alignment now.
Definitely. Dr. Wayne Dyer, one of his my favorite quotes of his says, "Do not let your song die within you."
Yes.
And so for years, so there's something people have told me. People talk about auras, and I feel energy. Maybe it's like the same thing. So people would often come and talk to me, strangers, and I'll be on the train and they'll talk to me for a long time and they feel drawn toward me. And at some point, after leaving Jehovah's Witness group, I was really annoyed by that because all these people will come and talk to me. And then because I didn't know how to keep my own energy, because I would feel drained afterwards. And I feel like I was giving a whole thing they would take. So eventually I had to see what that was and practice to if my cup is overfilled, to give that much and keep for me as well, because I couldn't give my whole energy. So I'm better at that. And at some point, when I heard Dr. Wayne Dyer said that, I was like, well, I have that gift, and it's not right that I'm just keeping it to myself and not sharing it, because obviously, even if I'm not sharing it on purpose, people on the train, on the street, come and talk to me. Strangers. So there is something there. So,
Tremendous.
yeah, so I take it full on. And so there I am. So I totally resonate with that.
I have a poem that I shared with you. I download these poems. It's part of your gift. When you're in your lane, when you're where you're supposed to be, things come through you. It comes through your talent base. It's amazing what happens when you're in the right space. This is called the gift. It goes like this. There's a gift that dwells inside of you, bestowed by the universe. Your purpose lives within your heart. It was given to you at birth. Your worth is not in question, but doubt might not let you see the greatness that lives inside of you. It's your belief that sets it free. This gift is not for you. This gift is for us all. Consider it as selfishness if you don't heed your call. This life that we are blessed to live is not merely to exist. It's time to change your point of view. Take time to ponder this. Imagine yourself old. Your life is in review. Will you be filled with regret of the things that you did not do? Will you have an empty feeling as you sit and stare, knowing that you will leave this earth with a gift you failed to share? So live to leave a legacy, and always remember this, that you're one of a kind, and that you were born to shine, and your purpose is your gift.
Wow. You are a poet. Wow, I could feel it. Amazing.
I didn't know I was a poet until I was 45 years old. Right, so I was so misaligned. And that's part of being in a high-controlled group like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're telling you what to be. They're telling you what's important. They're telling you how you should spend your time. You get so disconnected from yourself that I was 45 years old, not knowing I always had that gift in me. And then when I was able to align myself with who I truly am supposed to be, these poems, and I have a lot of them, they just download. I wake up and I grab a pen and paper and just write a poem.
Nice. Good.
I'm gonna give you one, you know, because we're going to go, I'm guessing, into the Jehovah Witness thing. Right. But this is how I found I had this gift. You know, I was dealing with all this turmoil in my life because I was getting divorced and my businesses were going upside down because of my divorce. And I was in a kind of dark place. And I grabbed a pen and paper and I was going to journal because I wanted to get my feelings out about the religion and how I was feeling. And within 5 or 10 minutes, this came out and said, this is called Free. It goes like this. Raised in beliefs that were not mine, a detachment from my true self showed over time. A lie I lived for so very long, never understanding my truth about what's right and wrong. Like a chameleon, I would change my colors at will, so the people I love would love me back still. But is it true love if it's taken away because something called truth is not seen the same way? You see, we all have the power to use our own minds and seek understanding that we all wish to find. This journey is mine. It belongs to no other, no brother, no sister, no father or mother. See, I was created unique and like no one else, but my talents and gifts were then put on the shelf. But now it's time to break free from these chains and shatter the bondage this has had on my brain. Now I'm finally free. I can soar to the sky. For I was created in the image of the one who's most high.
Wow.
That's the first poem I ever wrote. And that is to inspire people. I want people to really feel what I'm saying here, that when I was able to let go of the anger and I was able to really accept the gift that I was given, these things are delivered through me. I don't even try to write poems. They just come. And I think everyone has something like that.
Yes.
Everybody has a zone they can get into. Like, you know, a lot of basketball players talk about nights where the rim seems giant, like they can't miss. That's a flow that they're in because they're doing what they're supposed to do. And every now and then you hit that flow. It's like, give me the ball. I can't miss tonight. And we all have something like that. And gifts aren't always showy things, right? Poetry can be showy or a dancer, a singer, or an artist. Sometimes it's simple things. You could be the person in your world that all your friends come to for advice. Whenever they're feeling down, you're the go-to person. Well, that's a gift. That there is a gift. How do you want to use that gift where people feel so comfortable to tell you their darkest secrets and you make them feel better? That's a gift. Mm. Right? Somebody else might be very, technology comes easy to them. They just got the mind for that. That's a gift. Some people, it's athletics. Some people, you know, children and dogs come up to you. They want to be around you. The energy, right? I know people that all dogs like them. Mean dogs, just their energy, they're feeling it. Children like them. That's a gift. And one thing about gifts that we must remember, I think what holds people back sometimes from really accepting their gift is people don't want to feel conceited. They don't want to feel big-headed. They don't want to feel like, you know, I don't want to say I'm great at this because that doesn't sound humble.
Right.
If you can remember that your gift is not for you. That's what I said in that poem. Your gift is not for you. This gift is for us all, right? So it's not about me. If I'm on a stage and I'm speaking in front of a big crowd, it's not about me. I'm simply the conduit to deliver the message. You know, with my Facebook group, it's a lot of people now. It's almost 8,000 people. I always have to remind myself, it's not about me. So you can embrace your greatness. You can embrace what's great about you without being conceited, without thinking you're better than anybody else, knowing that this is my gift. That person has theirs just as great as mine, right? But the only difference really between people is some people are aware of their gift and they embrace it and they accept it, and other people don't. That's it.
Right. I love how you say it's for all of us. It's inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I like that. And another point you mentioned about feeling conceited, it's funny. All my life, being Jehovah's Witness, I've noticed how different Jehovah's Witnesses have different experiences. So my experience, maybe you had the same, is how we're taught that we're not going to die if we follow the rules, and then everyone else is below us and we're a grinder. So I had that grinder energy. And when I left, I was like, oh, this is gross. I don't want that. But I've also realized that because I'm a outgoing person, I'm grinned anyway. So being Jehovah's Witness made it extra. And when I was in school, the students would often call me arrogant. And I guess because when I was preaching them and knowing it all and everything, I had answers to every question. And so I had to remember those things. But then when I would express my talent with different things, people would say, oh, don't do that. And I've noticed how society taught us, let someone praise you, do not praise yourself. Or even in the religion, they say, praise God instead and not praise yourself. And I realized I can praise myself for my talent without putting someone down. I can say I'm good at this. I can say I'm good at technology without feeling I'm better than, and it's okay to say, hey, I have something. And since then, I don't have the shame anymore. I say, hey, I'm good at this. And then when people say, oh, that's conceited. And I say, well, thank you for the feedback. I'm still good at this. It doesn't mean you're lower than me. And sharing my gift with you, I don't feel better than you because my business is to do what inspires me, in turn inspires other people. That's my model. Because as you mentioned, and as you doing in your career and life, you're doing your thing and you're sharing with other people, and other people have their, because I saw on your website, you have other colleagues, and then they all have their gifts that they're putting into your business, that it makes it a whole inclusive organization. And I totally love that. And that's a good point that you mentioned to remind people.
Good does not become great without an acknowledgement of your gift. Mm-hmm. Because good becomes great with repetitious and consistency, right? You work at it, but you've got to be gifted at something. If you don't admit that you're gifted at something, you'll never be great. And it's not conceited as long as you see what's great about the next person. Conceit is when you think you're better than somebody.
Right.
When I know what I'm gifted at, but I also acknowledge what I'm not gifted at, I'm not better, I'm just gifted at this, right? This other thing is his gift. Her gift. And I hold them in high esteem for that. So I'm not any better. It's just, this is my piece of the puzzle. I'm not going to say it's not a piece of the puzzle. It is. It might be a very large piece of the puzzle, of a puzzle. But good does not become great. And everyone has something in them. You do. Right? You just have to acknowledge it. But I think the problem is, especially people coming from the Jehovah's Witness background, is people can't be taught something that their parents didn't know. And most people, your parents became a part of that religion because it gave them something. It gave them something to hold on to. It made the world make sense to them. Not saying it's true, but it made the world make sense. And that, you know, okay, I understand why my life is such a mess, and it's Satan doing all this stuff, and the new order is going to fix all this stuff. So you could stop thinking. But in that, when you stop thinking, you also stop taking responsibility. You know, if everything bad is Satan's fault and everything good is Jehovah, then you have no personal responsibility.
No purpose either.
Right.
You're just in the middle, just following.
Right. So, you know, taking personal responsibility, both good and bad, is on you, right? Life is a reflection of the story you're telling yourself in your own head. So if you're telling yourself that this world is an awful place, like if I were to say, and Jehovah's Witnesses teach this, that this world is so bad right now that Jehovah needs to intercede because the world's never been any worse. Is that really true? Would my life be better as a Black American, African American 200 years ago in America? Really? Like, this is the worst of times? Me and you are having this great discussion. We've never met each other in the flesh. And then you're going to get to learn from this, either one of us.
I totally agree 100%, especially last year when 2020 was happening in George Floyd. And I'm not, again, I mentioned that on my pages. I'm not belittling any situation or any experience anyone have, but I only have to talk about myself. I was saying for myself, this is the best time that I can live as not only as a human being or a person, period, but for also as what other people will see my exterior as. And that was my own experience. People get offended by that, but that's their prerogative.
You're in your truth and you're shining right now. There's no way that I would be viewing the person I'm viewing right now while you are a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
It would have to all be muted, right?
I agree.
You have to fit the mold. So now you're living in your fullness, you're in alignment. And that is my mission with the work I do with ex-witnesses, is to get them in alignment. Right? Get them away from being defined by the religion. Get them away from being consumed with the religion. And it's tough because, you know, with the group I run, you get all kinds of people. Some people just left last week. Some people have been gone for 30, 40 years. You know, but the key of life is to be focused on where you are going, not where you've been. You see, your windshield is a lot bigger than your rearview mirror for a reason. We cannot move forward if we're absolutely consumed with the things behind us. Life is 10% what has happened to us and 90% how we handle what's happened to us.
Yes.
So we've got to be consumed with finding our true self. And our true self was always within us. A lot of people make the mistake of looking for things outside of themselves. Maybe I can do this, or maybe I should do that, or maybe I should become a this. Or maybe I should go back to school and get my degree to do this, because they're hearing what other people say should be. Mm-hmm. But your truth is inside of you. It was always there.
Yes.
And you find yourself by going within.
Yes. Great important message. You already mentioned a little about what you do in Empowered. Can you give more details on what's the purpose of the group Empowered XJWs, and why did you start it?
Well, it's not something that I wanted to do initially, because I'm a motivational speaker and I get to speak at happy conferences and things where everybody's happy. And that's what I wanted to do, just that. I did not want to talk about XJW stuff. I was over it. You know, I didn't feel like I wanted the energy from all that stuff, because I'm over it. I'm moving on with life. But this is where the calling comes into play. This is what happened. There was quite a large group, probably 5 years ago, four and a half, five years ago. XJW group that was really angry. And most of the groups are really angry. Just a place for people to vent.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm scrolling through them. These poor people, they could use some advice. Let me make some videos that could show people how to get past some of the things that they're talking about. Because there was one post where the person was desperate, like almost suicidal. And all the comments were just right there with them. Like, wow, they really need some help. No one's helping. They don't know how to get out of this place. So I started making videos, posting them in the group to help people. And the admin kicked me out of the group.
Yeah.
Because I guess I was too positive, right? But, they told me people get to be wherever they are. They don't need anybody's advice. And I'm like, no, they're really looking for advice. Everybody loved the videos that I was making, but they kicked me out.
Yeah.
And then I thought, there needs to be something else. There needs to be a group where people actually get good advice. Learn about how their minds work. Learn about why they're stuck. Learn about how to move forward. And not so much about what the JWs are doing today or what the latest new light is and this governing body talk or this assembly. And none of that stuff. None of the scandals. Just about you moving forward with your life. And so we created the group. And it took off. It's nice. Difficult to manage sometimes because people have such a desire to be angry and to let that out. And I just ask people, well, there are different groups and you can use different groups for different reasons. So if you're in that season of life where you just want to vent at the watchtower, well, go to this group that's looking for that content and do that there. And then you can come back to this group when you really want some tools to move forward and we'll help you do that. So I'm so glad I did.
Good.
Because sometimes we're especially equipped for a certain kind of work, right? I could speak, I live in Las Vegas, and I could speak at a conference on the Strip. And the reality is that they'll forget what I said by the time they get on the plane. They'll get to leave the convention and get the gambling and drinking. And, you get a nice check, but not impacting lives like I do with the XJWs because I lived it.
Right.
Tony Robbins couldn't help the XJWs like I can, you could, because you have to have lived it. So I think in life, if you look at life the right way, whatever your history was becomes your gift, right? Even if it was a bad history. I'm on the board of a group called Unsilenced Voices. It's a woman who, it's a nonprofit that brings awareness to domestic abuse. And the woman who runs it, she was abused for 4 years, like badly. And not that she would want to repeat that, not that she wishes that upon anyone, but she's using that experience to her benefit now. If she hadn't gone through that, she couldn't help thousands of women that she helps today. So whatever your past is, instead of just being angry at it, flip it around and use it in a way that benefits you and benefits others, regardless of what that past is. So it's been my gift. It's something that I fought doing. I'm actually glad I do today because I've been able to touch a lot of lives.
I love that. And so that was a little question, but it's a question that I have for me and I'm going to ask you. So when it comes to fatal purpose, so maybe you are meant to be Jehovah's Witness to tap more into that juice that you're into now. Mm-hmm. What do you think? As you mentioned, your friend with the domestic, et cetera. What do you think?
Life is challenging on planet Earth. It just is, right? I don't care what your past is. This Earth is not designed to be easy. Unlike what we're taught as Jehovah's Witnesses, like this is supposed to be a paradise and we're chilling with tigers and lions, eating watermelons in the middle of a field every day. That's not what this Earth is about. It's challenging. It's challenging for animals, right? I mean, you're just a gazelle chilling, eating grass. And here comes the lion, right? It's challenging. It's designed that way because we learn from the challenges we go through. So you're going to have challenges. You're going to have things that aren't fair. Life's not fair. And that's one thing I try to really teach ex-Jehovah's Witnesses is like, stop acting like you're the only one that bad things happen to. Right. And some of it wasn't even really bad. I mean, it's just something that you outgrew at some point. Okay. You couldn't play football and you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. Yeah, that sucks. Right. But there are people that go through worse. There are people that are raised in countries where they've got to walk 3 miles each way for water on their head, and the water's dirty.
Yep.
Right. And they've got to drink that water and bathe. It's the same water the animals bathe in and drink. Right. There are people that, you know, most of this world does not eat three solid meals a day. They live in shacks. I mean, look at your blessings. Look at where you're blessed. Okay. And know that challenges are for everyone. That person that got hit by a drunk driver last night and lost the ability to walk, that's not fair. But that person somehow has to find a fulfilling life from that wheelchair from this point on. Right.
Right.
So one person can be lose their ability to walk and their whole life can unravel and go upside down. And I understand that. I can't imagine going through that. Right. Another person decides to do marathons, becomes a motivational speaker and makes YouTube videos and does all these amazing things in their life and touches more lives than he ever would or she ever would have as an able-bodied person. Because of the way they took that.
Right.
Yeah. So as ex-witnesses, instead of bemoaning the past and being angry at everything, sometimes we have to accept things that suck, right? And I have two kids. I don't have the relationship that I want with them because they're still witnesses. That sucks. But I can't dwell on that.
Yeah.
I've got to replace what's missing there with something else, right? I can't just dwell on this void. Because if I live my purpose, there's more chance of me waking them up by who I've become than if I'm just angry at the hurt. See, people follow people that they want to be like. What they don't follow is this. So if I was consumed with trying to wake my kids up by proving that the religion that their mom, you know, has fed them is wrong, they're just going to turn on me more.
Right.
But if they see their dad, you know, I got to go back to where I was last a witness, where my daughter still lives with her mom, and her school hired me to speak to the entire school. Okay. Her middle school. She's in middle school at the time. And the principal found out my daughter was there and they had my daughter introduce me. And then I spoke at all the high schools. This is on the island of Maui. And when I was leaving leaving Maui, I was at the airport and I look at the newspaper stand and I'm on the entire front cover of the paper. And it says, motivational speaker brings a positive message to the schools. How's that for going back in triumph? How's that for letting that sit in my daughter? Okay. And that's because I've moved forward with life and hopefully they wake up in their own given time, and their dad will know how to show them how to go from being disappointed and angry and misled and all that, all those feelings, to being healthy and vibrant, because I know the course. I know how to get there. And a lot of ex-witnesses, they wake up and they go, I got to wake up my family. No, you don't.
Right.
Find your way first, mm-hmm. Right? Harriet Tubman didn't escape slavery with 20 people. She found her way herself. Then she could come back and show people the way. But if you're not happy, don't dare wake somebody up, because they're just going to join you in unhappiness. They're going to join you in feeling unfulfilled.
Glad you said that. Thank you. Thank you. Because I see it a lot.
Yes. They're happy in their, you know, delusional world they live in. Let them live in that world until you know the way. Now, remember this. You cannot wake up somebody that is not already cracked with doubt. They've got to have some doubt, but you're ready when they are. So even with my children, I don't push anything until there's a crack. You see, if the door is deadbolted, you're not going to kick it open. But let it crack this much, and I got you. I will blow that door wide open, okay? But you got to get there first. My children have to see dad living a happy life. You know, my son's on my Facebook, and I live a fun life. I live a happy life. You know, I do cruises with XJWs. My group does a cruise every February during non-COVID time. Oh, and nice. And I post all the pictures. My son will be like, oh, dad, it looks so, like, so, my son's 27. looks like fun. Looks like he went on a cruise. He has no idea, ex-witnesses, that I'm doing a conference on the cruise, right? He thinks I'm just doing my motivational stuff with, he does not know, right? But I'm living a good life. Now, what will happen? My kids have no clue. I don't hide anything. They just don't ask. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what will happen when they wake up? And I know they will. I see my son just like me at my age. Now, what will happen when he wakes up and finds out his dad's got a group of 10,000 people, ex-witnesses, that he could tap right into?
Yes.
You see? He will feel so foolish, like, I have been so self-absorbed being a Jehovah's Witness that I had no clue my dad was even doing this. He just thinks I'm doing my thing with
Satan's work.
he has no clue. He thinks I'm just doing my regular motivational stuff, right? Because I post up the things. I don't mention that it's Jehovah's Witness stuff on my personal Facebook, but I'm ready for him. I'm ready when he wakes up because I know how to like help you avoid all the missteps I took to get you to a place of happiness. And what is life if you're not happy? Remember that. Now, there's some people I don't want to wake up. My dad's 82 years old. I don't ever want to wake him up. It's too late.
Yeah, mine too. And it's okay. Yeah.
Right. Because he's happy with his sense of what reality is. Remember this, everyone watching. Reality is simply what you have accepted as truth to you. That's all reality is. So for Jehovah's Witness, as long as they're in that bubble, they might be totally happy because their life is matching their sense of reality. Now, when you get a sense of reality, when you're a witness and then you can see beyond those lenses, right? I don't know if you ever seen the movie The Truman Show. Did you see that? Jim Carrey?
I love it. Right? Yeah.
Because he was living a happy life, but he could no longer be happy once he understood that there was more.
Right? Until that crack you mentioned.
Right. So that's what happens with people. But for people like my dad, I wouldn't want him to wake up one day. Now, if he woke up, he woke up. But I'm not going to be somebody to force him to see that, oh, your whole life was lived in a lie. The last 55 years of life was lived in a lie. I don't want him to die alone with no friends and realizing that his life was dedicated to something that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. Even though it impacts our relationship, I'm not selfish enough to say, you know what? Because I want my dad to be closer to me, I'm going to wreck everything you believe. No.
It's
okay.
Very, very kind. Yeah. What is your message for any closeted Jehovah's Witnesses who secretly want a way out?
Work on the quality of courage. Courage. You were taught to be courageous for the religion, but not courageous for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right, you would die for your religion. You would not take blood and lose your life for your religion.
Yeah.
But you personally were told to be a sheep. Sheep are not smart animals. Sheep don't think. If a shepherd leads sheep off the cliff, they all just walk off the cliff and die. They don't think. You want to be more committed to what you feel your purpose is in life. To make sure you lived a purpose-driven life, that you lived a life that leaves some kind of a legacy, that the world, you made that kind of a difference. Commit that. You're able to let stuff go. You're able to let stuff go because of your commitment or particular purpose. That can let stuff go. I mean, there's so many things. Angry. I had to let a whole marriage go. I had to let my relationship with my kids be very somewhat strained. Because I committed to making sure I planted my seed while I was on focus on something that is delivering back, be defined by something other than just being a Jehovah Witness or ex-Jehovah Witness. Let something else define you. A lot of people leave the religion and defined by it. It still owns them. It still controls their emotion. Correct. It's the greatest quality you could ever miss because everything comes after that.
But I wanted to ask you, what is a 5-stage of healing if you have 5?
Yeah, so I teach people that there are 5 stages that we go through as we're healing from the Jehovah's Witnesses. or leaving them. Stage one is a stage of doubt. So you usually start that stage while you're still in it. For those who call themselves PMO, right? You got doubt. Stage two is a stage of fear, because that doubt has rooted. You've confirmed that doubt. Now you're fearing losing your family, your friends. You're afraid of losing life as you know it. And you're afraid of losing your entire belief system. It makes you feel very lost. So fear. Fear is what keeps people physically and mentally out. Fear. That's why you need courage to offset that fear. You go from stage two to stage three. Stage three is a stage of anger and resentment. Now you're angry because you're being shunned. Now you're angry because you felt lied to. Now you're angry because life as you know it is gone. You feel angry because you don't know how to fit into society and make friends. And your whole life was based on being a Jehovah's Witness. So it can make you angry. You're angry because nobody's listening to you. You know you make sense. You know that you're not lying. You know you're not this evil apostate. You just, everything in life is just disappointing you at this moment. You're neither here nor there. You're not a witness, but you haven't arrived anywhere else. You're just treading water trying to survive. Yeah. This is where most ex-witnesses get stuck for years, decades sometimes. They're angry years and years and years and years. But as long as you're in stage three, you're still controlled by the religion. You're still defined by it. You go from stage three to stage four. Stage four is where you lose attachment to the religion. You lose all labels of your religion. You stop using the language. You stop calling yourself this fellowship. That's their word for members who believe in their church. A disfellowship person is a punished Jehovah's Witness or an exiled Jehovah's Witness. When you're done with it, you're done with it. I don't use their words. Who cares? I won't even answer the question somebody asked me that, because I don't use those words. You go to stage four. Stage four is a stage of discovery. Find out what you believe, right? It's a wonderful stage. You wipe the chalkboard clean and you start all over again. Why? Stage four is a stage of why? 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 Why do I believe this? Some people go from being a Jehovah's Witness to say, okay, I don't believe the witnesses, but I believe the Bible and I'm still Christian. Now, I'm not saying anything for or against, but why? Why are you Christian? Go another level and ask yourself why. I'm not a witness, but I still believe in God. Why? Okay, so it's not, see, get comfortable with the why, because with the why, you'll have an answer to why you think what you think. So if the why leads you to being a Christian, now you know why. It's not just because you were programmed with something. It might lead you to being a Buddhist. Now you know why you're Buddhist. It might lead you to be having some more new age spiritual kind of viewpoint of life and getting into the metaphysical and those type of things. Now you know why. You know why. So stage four is a lot of questioning, a lot of figuring out for yourself what things are. I went to Christian churches. I went to Buddhist things. I went to New Age things. I wanted to know for myself, because everything that I thought was from the witnesses telling me something, and most of it wasn't true. And I know for myself now, because I went.
Yes.
Discovery about all kinds of things, not just religion. It could be all kinds of things, right? No, I've done plant medicine and all kinds of stuff, okay? But I know what it is. No one tells me I know.
Yes.
And then stage five is a stage of self-knowing, where you can say, this is what I believe about myself, first and foremost. And this is how I believe the world works. And this is where I am right now. But the difference is in stage five, you're not ever going to say, I have the truth. Mm-hmm. You see, life is about growing and expanding. Once you say you have the truth, your mind shuts off. You do not grow anymore, right? All you do is defend your point of view. I will never say I have the truth. I will just say, this is where I'm at now. Right. You might come a year from now, I might tell you something totally different, because I've received more enlightenment about things that changed my point of view. And I always want to be able to change my point of view. I don't want to defend the truth.
Right.
As long as you're on earth, all we do is learn while we're here. there is no the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back 100 years, most of the things we believe today would seem ridiculous 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? We're just evolving as people. So I never want to say I have the truth. I want to say that I know my path. Stage five, let's just say that in stage five, you found your lane. You know what lane you're driving in. That's where alignment is.
Right. Right.
No, no, I said it's ever evolving. As people, we want to learn and grow and expand and be able to change until the day we take our last breath.
Right. That's great to say that we are growing, and it's good to not shut our eyes and want to just stay in our place that we've been and not wanting to learn more. So tell us about your Empowered Life Mastery Class, excuse me.
Yeah, well, I have a few different things that we do. I have something called the JWD Programming Bootcamp. It's an online course. I've put hundreds and hundreds of people through that. That teaches you about yourself. It teaches you how your mind works. It teaches you how you got programmed. It teaches you how to get past the fear-based way of thinking. It teaches you how to build your self-esteem and your self-confidence. It teaches you how to make new friends again, how to deal with JW families, how to control your emotions. That's the most important thing in your life is your emotions. It teaches you how to start using your gifts and talents. So it addresses all the issues that ex-witnesses deal with so you can move forward with life. That's the first thing I have for people. That's an online course, all videos. And then I have Empowered Life Mastery. That's usually the second stage of what I do with people. That's a 6-week course that I take people through. That's a 6-week Zoom call with maximum 5 people because I want it intimate because we talk about some pretty personal things in there. But here's where I teach people how to find who they are, the process of doing that. Things like writing a personal mission statement, doing some inner work to figure out who you are. I teach people how to, again, raise their confidence and their self-esteem, change your perspective. Life is all about perspective. It's all I do with people is change how you look at things. If you could change your perspective and paradigms, everything changes because what you're looking at changes. So your life changes. You right. just change. You're going from this to that or from this to this. Okay. Week 3, I think we talk about finding your superpowers. I teach people we're going to find your superpower. Again, your gift. This is your superpower. This is what comes easy to you. Now you want to align your life with that. I teach people how to set boundaries in life. That's very important for ex-witnesses because with the witnesses that you deal with, it might be your parents or siblings, witnesses live a very one-way life. They want things their way. They expect you to listen to them, but they don't want to listen to you back. It's a one-way street, okay? It's always a one-way street with them. They want to talk to you, but okay, you read this, okay? But you read this. Nope, they're not going to read your stuff, but you're supposed to read theirs. Right. Mm-hmm. So how do you set boundaries? How do you have rules in your life? For me, one of my rules is life's reciprocal. If it doesn't go back and forth, we're not doing this. Boundaries. My whole family knows don't say the truth around me because it's not my truth. I'm not going to tell you what I believe is the truth. So don't use that word. That's a boundary of mine.
Good.
Right. So how do you set boundaries in your life? Relationships, how to form proper relationships, how to have the right people around you, how to protect your inner circle. We teach all these kinds of things. We also teach people how to get rid of some of the childhood trauma and to release those things that we're holding on to that affect our life today. So that is a 6-week course called Empowered Life Mastery and one-on-one coaching. I do all that kind of stuff for people to get them past all that mental stuff. It's all psychology. It's all subconscious programming.
Right. So how can someone listening to this reach out to you?
You can reach out to me if you're in the Empowered group. Number one, on Facebook, Rodney Allgood. You could just message me. There's just a few of us with that name, a couple of us. You'll know who I am. You can message me on Facebook. I'll see it. I check my filtered messages all the time. You can join the Empowered Group, the Empowered XJW or the Empowered Minds Group, and find me there. The Empowered XJW website, empoweredxjws.com. You can message me there, send me a message there. We have different coaches in the group, people who are certified at different modalities to coach people. We got all kinds of stuff for you. So if you're struggling with the JW stuff, also send me an email, rodallgood@gmail.com works. Lots of ways to contact me. But if you're stuck, you could talk to me on me, free call. If you're struggling, I'll make time to talk to you.
Great. And any last wisdom you'd like to share before we go?
Last wisdom, don't get stuck in anger. Anger will rob you of your life. Don't get stuck in anger. You cannot attract what you want in life. You cannot produce what you want in life from an angry state, right? But anger is natural. It is a phase we go through. It's a season, but don't get stuck there. Do not waste your life fighting the witnesses unless you are a natural activist. Don't confuse your anger for activism. Some people are natural activists and they should be doing that. But for a lot of you're just angry. Don't get stuck in anger, right? Replace anger with courage. So you have the courage to live the life that you are supposed to live because you're not promised tomorrow. You know, this is life. There's a date that you're born, there's a dash, and then there's going to be another date. You're in the dash. You can't control how long that dash is sometimes, but you can control how impactful that dash is. And whatever life is, you've got to make the best of it and not waste more time on what was yesterday. I'm going to leave you with one more poem. This is called In the Blink of an Eye. Because you're not promised tomorrow, what you need to do, do it now. Don't talk about waiting for things to line up. Don't talk about when this happens and that happens. I'll pull the trigger or push the gas. All you have is this present moment. The past is a part of your imagination. It's a figment of your imagination. The past does not exist, but in your mind. The future does not exist yet, and the future is the result of what you're doing today. So all you have is this present moment. This is called in the blink of an eye. In the blink of an eye, each moment becomes the past. You see, nothing stays forever. Only the memories last. A young woman, she dreams of her wedding day. In a blink, the day is here. And then it's gone away. Our babies and toddlers, we watch them frolic and play. But in a blink, they grow up. And they're no longer this way. Now grown and on their own. In a blink of an eye. Sometimes we all wonder, when did the years pass by? In a blink of an eye, our elders are gone. Suddenly, it's upon us to pick up and carry on. In the blink of an eye, we are young no more. So ask yourself this one question: what am I waiting for? Live a life that's inspired. Don't let it end with regret. Find your purpose and your passion, one this world won't soon forget. The time is now, you've got one life to live, so spread your wings and fly. For this ride, it may be over in the blink of an eye.
I love it. Wow. Do you have your poems anywhere in a book yet, or published, or
Yeah, we're
videos?
working on some things. Yeah, we're working on some things with that. So, yeah, some things will be coming out with that. I wanted a few more really poignant poems, and we got books and the whole thing coming up based on the poems. So
Okay,
you can
because
look
I'm
forward to
getting goosebumps and
that. We're doing a whole one man show based on poems and videos. It's a whole thing I'm working on. So it's going to be awesome.
nice. I want to close with your quote that I found on your page. It says, we are absolutely correct about whatever we believe about ourselves. What we believe is something we all have the power to change. So everyone, you heard it from Rodney Allgood, and thank you so much for being here with us, sharing your gift and your wisdom and what you've learned and your time And I made this podcast to inspire others to do what inspires them, and do not let your song die within you. Shine and do not have shame, guilt, or judgments for yourself and for others. Thank you so much, Rodney. Appreciate your time and being here.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good one.